On the show today, we have Netgiver's very own Glenn Frechette. He's talking about his latest move, actually, to Netgiver and why he took a position there, as well as talking about the $18 billion problem that Netgiver solves for credit unions. So check it out. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, look who we have in our virtual studios, Mr. Glenn Frechette. Glenn, how are you, sir? Good to see you again.
Hey, Mike, great to see you. Not wearing the PSCU t-shirt these days.
I was about to say.
But yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you representing my new organization as the Chief Revenue Officer of Netgiver.
Yeah, congratulations on that. Yeah, because we were talking before the recording that you were at PSCU for all those years and doing a fabulous job there. And now you have progressed in your career and you are now, yeah, the Chief Revenue Officer at Netgiver. Well, I mean, before we dive into our questions, a big congratulations before we get started here. Well done, sir.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I'm a little more than 60 days in, but it feels like a year's worth of time, just because when you start something new, everything's hard.
It is. Yeah, you go on your kind of your listening and learning tour, if you will. So yeah, but then you get the hang of things, and then you hit the ground running. So I guess my first question out of the gate here, Glenn, is that what compelled you to make this move in your career? Because obviously, you know, we all want to progress in our careers, obviously, and you're doing the same right now. So tell me about this directional change that you're doing here at Netgiver, and what are your responsibilities there?
So I would tell you, Mike, probably like many of your interviewees, COVID exacerbated maybe a thought process that for a long time I had been considering, and that is to do something of serious significance in my life. Mm-hmm. So I began to read a series, and in fact, there's an institute known as the Halftime Institute.
Okay.
And what's preached is that we all have this burden in life to pay it forward and to give back to those that have been so generous in our own careers. So if you reach the point where you're in your 40s and you're considering doing something different in your life, and you reflect back on all those that have made time, consideration, and contributions to you, whether that be by way of teaching or guidance, we have the responsibility to do the same. And I felt like leading a life of significance with a concentration on helping people to progress, mm-hmm, versus that of just monetary gain, it was time to do that and to make that move. But the other thing is, I serve on the board of a company that's exclusively operating in the nonprofit donor management space. So I've become very, very close to understanding the pain that nonprofits experience related to significant operating costs and their ability to preserve what's given to them as donations fully.
Yeah.
And you know what, Mike, there's no way I was going to stray too far away from Credit Union Nation. Over a decade ago, I fell in love with the mission of credit unions. And so when I met the founders of Netgiver, and I realized that they formed this company as a CUSO very deliberately and intentionally to align themselves with credit unions, it was an absolute match for me.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. We've had Netgiver on the program several times, and they just do fantastic work, which segues to my next question. So what's the problem today, or what are the challenges today that Netgiver solves out there?
You know, it's not a small problem at all, Mike. In fact, it's an $18 billion concern.
Oh, wow.
So let me put that into context. Not only is $18 billion a lot of money, obviously, but that represents an amount of money that's greater than the GDP in 87 independent countries around the world, not collectively, but individually.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that number represent? That's the total amount of money that nonprofits part with every year, either by way of card transaction fees or platform administration fees.
Okay.
So if you think of well-intentioned donors providing money and contributions to these nonprofits, 7 cents of every dollar goes by the wayside to pay for card processing fees and platform fees. So all in, that's an $18 billion issue that we're solving.
Okay. And so this $18 billion problem that you just mentioned, so talk to me about fee-free giving and the roles credit unions, members, and nonprofits play that they play each day.
Yeah. So we actually like to use the phraseology no fee giving because we think the word no is very powerful. And we want donors and nonprofits to have an appreciation for the fact that we really mean it. Meaning there aren't any footnotes. There isn't an asterisk at the bottom of the page. There's no fine print. No really means no. And in terms of each of the constituents that you've just asked me about and the role they play, mm-hmm. whether that be the nonprofit, the credit union, or the donors, the members, let me go ahead and break that down for you. NetGiver's client is the credit union. They in turn sponsor the giving activity. So it's the credit union's members and the millions of nonprofits across the country that are the beneficiaries of the generosity shown by the credit union.
Okay.
As for the members, you know, they'd simply download our app and they'd attach their credit union account to the profile they built. And then they begin selecting which nonprofits they want to generously give to.
That's so cool.
And then the last part, the last party involved here is the nonprofit. They too are responsible for linking their receiving account to NetGiver in order for us to host and facilitate the transfer of monies. One thing I should point out here is we like to call ourselves the Venmo of giving, but in no way, shape, or form, Mike, do we float the dollars that pass through our hands, if you will. We merely facilitate the transaction that goes from the donor ultimately into the nonprofit, never reaches our account whatsoever.
Okay. Yeah. I like that saying though. It paints a really clear picture of what you guys represent for sure. So are credit unions, are they typically involved in charitable giving decisions or planning with their membership base? What's the status on this one?
By and large, they are not. Frankly okay. speaking, if they were, maybe we wouldn't have an app and platform for me to talk to you about today. But they should be for a variety of reasons. Credit unions preach about the importance of financial wellness. Tax advantage and no fee giving, it fits really nicely into that education.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a super simple way for a credit union to integrate themselves into what's meaningful and very, very personal to that member. I'm sure you've had other interviewees and guests on your program that talk about the in vogue terminology, know your member. So if you think about it, if we can help a credit union succeed here in helping them to know their members better, then we are absolutely helping them in that regard. So while they're not typically involved, credit unions, in the charitable giving that happens by way of their membership, again, they can play an active role, even in matching those contributions, mm-hmm. Mike. And that makes those dollars stretch even further. So if a member was to give and the credit union matches, naturally the greatest beneficiary becomes the nonprofit reaping that benefit.
Yeah, I've got a new one for you, Glenn, that I learned this year. Maybe it's new to me, but it might not be new to you, but show me you know me. So that's coming from the member's perspective. Show me you know me. So we could go on a whole rabbit hole on that one, but I don't want to go too far down. But
I'd like to know who coined that one. Is that already taken or can we use it?
You might want to check with the folks at Origins. Because they are the ones that I went to their conference earlier this year and I discovered that one. Oh my gosh, what a great saying. I don't think anybody owns it, but it's a really good one that really kind of exemplifies the times that we're in and getting to the personalization of everything. Definitely. So that said, who decides which nonprofits will be made available to a credit union's members to choose from? Who decides that?
We naturally want to leverage the fact that some credit unions have an outstanding community, a set of relationships that are already in place. So they have those either by way of foundations that they've established for themselves, mm-hmm. or just select independent nonprofits throughout the community. We want to welcome those with open arms, no doubt, and either add them to our platform if they're not already there, or just enroll them and turn them on if they are. But speaking about what is already there, mm-hmm. we have a pre-existing database. There are 1.5 million nonprofits that file a tax return every year. The official form filing is called a 990.
Yeah.
So for every nonprofit that has filed a 990, they're in our system. And it's just a matter of getting that particular nonprofit to provide their receiving account information to accept money. That's it. It's a one-way transaction to accept money. And then we can get them enrolled.
Sounds like a no-brainer to me, for sure. Yeah. So I love the business model that NetGiver has developed there. So I think it's just, and it's very credit union as well. It's in that wheelhouse for sure that we all know and love these days. So I want to switch gears just a little bit here. We're going down a musical road here. So talk to me about this latest collaboration you guys have with the band Three Doors Down this past Friday night. So what's what happened and what's the collaboration all about? Kind of excited.
How cool is that, right?
Yeah.
Who's next for us? And we start with Three Doors Down, but you know, I have aspirations to really make it big. We'll see if we can get some big.
Well, Three Doors Down, they ain't bad. So you're on your way with these folks, so for sure.
Well, they have a nonprofit, Mike. Three Doors Down does, okay. And it's called the Better Life Foundation.
Okay.
They also happen to have a social media following of 6 million users.
Oh, is that all? Oh my gosh.
That's it. Yeah. What does Mike Lawson have? How many followers Lawson?
Oh, I think we're knocking on the door of 8,000, but we're a far cry from 6 million, but we're working there. We're getting there. Maybe by the year 3,000 or something like that, we'll get to 6 million, but we're going to get there, by golly.
I love it. Well, if you want me to send an email to Three Doors Down promoting the CU broadcast, I'm
please do. We appreciate that.
So in Minneapolis last Friday night, they held a concert. And leading up to that concert, they were promoting their foundation. And the way they involved NetGiver is each individual that wanted to participate in the sweepstakes, which included lots of different Three Doors Down packages and prizes. The main one, the grand prize, was an autographed guitar.
Oh.
So in order for a consumer to be eligible to participate in the drawing, they had to set up a profile, download NetGiver, and establish their giving activity.
Wow. Right. Okay. Oh, so cool. What a great idea.
No, it worked really, really well because the local media leaned in. The band was really, really engaged. And now think of it this way, Mike. All of these consumers, not necessarily credit union members, now have the NetGiver app in their hands, and they may be located all across the country. Just because they attended a concert in Minneapolis, they could be anywhere. And now credit unions that are on our platform have the ability to advertise and promote to those consumers and try to get them to become members of the credit union.
Ah, fabulous idea. Well done on that one. So yeah, I can't wait to see the residual effects that that occur in the ensuing months here. So yeah, what a great idea. And to be connected with a band like that and what they represent and the nonprofits that they support as well. So yeah, what a great deal for here. So last question for you, Glenn, before I let you go, because I know you have a lot more, a lot of work on your plate there. I don't want to keep you too long, but how do you and NetGiver plan to inform the credit union nation of your offering should they want to participate? How would you get that out there?
Well, you expect me to say the good old-fashioned way for sure, which involves us as a NetGiver team calling on credit unions one by one and leveraging the networks each of us has on trying to make inroads that way, which we've been successful at, thankfully. We're truly grateful for our client base that we do have. But there are two other larger partnership opportunities that we think can work in tandem with what I've just described. And the first one is done by way of the leagues. I think we'd all agree that there are 30 or so surviving leagues across the country.
Yep.
And they have big hearts. Credit union leagues have big hearts. And we've designed a model whereby they can partake and use their vast reach to help influence the credit unions that rely on them to make good decisions with the partners they choose. So should a credit union league want to participate with NetGiver, we've created a pretty significant, what I'll call, at the risk of being cliche here, a win-win scenario. But the biggest one we think is before us, Mike, is locking arms with a significant partner across the industry that has influence, that has scale, and likely has a relationship already with many of the credit unions across the country. I think we're hovering around 5,000 remaining credit unions. We think that there are select partners whose values do align with ours. And to the extent that they would become intrigued with a partnership with us, we would love to talk with them as well.
Right on, right on. We'll help. We're more than happy to help get the word out there for you, especially through this interview and other ideas as well. So yeah, great stuff here, Glenn. Congratulations again on this move. And the NetGiver model is such a cool model. So if you guys don't know about NetGiver, we'll have a link in the show notes to go check it out and discover it for yourself. Yeah, just great people that obviously great people that are working there too, and all in on the credit union mantra as well as people helping people. So yeah, good stuff. Anything else to add to wrap up here, Glenn? Any final thoughts?
Two quick final thoughts. Number one, in all of the app stores that exist, you can download a podcast that we host and sponsor, we bring together a credit union and a nonprofit together at once, and that's called Imagine the Difference.
Okay.
So that's available through the various stores. And the last thought I'd leave you with is this. Credit unions ask us all the time, what kind of data will come back to me after doing business with NetGiver or while doing business with NetGiver? Mm-hmm. The easy answer is it's a treasure trove. That's the easy answer. The more complex answer is imagine tapping into a repository of information that absolutely does not exist today for a credit union because they don't have access to contributions made by their membership. Mm-hmm, so what they can then do with the information and data we provide back, it opens up lots of different cross-sale products and services opportunities for the credit union down the road. I just wanted to say thank you. Appreciate you giving us 10 minutes on your show to promote who we are.
Oh my gosh. Anytime. Yeah. Like I said, I'm a big fan of the model, and what you guys do is very credit union philosophy. And yeah, just more than happy to have you guys on from time to time and to share your new move in your career. So congratulations again on that. And we'll be look forward to many more chats down the road here.
Thank you. Be a pleasure to do it again with you.
Take care. All right, Glenn. All right. Well, take care and keep up the good work there. Alrighty.
Thank you. Bye-bye.